Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. I'm thankful that the Lord takes care of me. I want you to think about this morning as I was reading about a lady by the name of Edna Citron. And I want you to see these pictures here. And this was a lady that you can see standing there when the Twin Towers were attacked on 9/11. And she was looking for help, waving for someone to come and rescue her. They did not get to her, and she perished that day. And I want you to think about the significance of this woman in her husband's life, because her husband, William, said this in her obituary. She had everything prompt, clean, neat, and organized. He was a 44-year-old doorman at the time, and his wife, 46 years old, an administrative assistant for Marsh and McLennan. She would come out of work, come home, cook, make sure that when I came out of work, there was food on the table and everything. And every night we would have ice cream and we would watch TV. That simple routine in their home in East Elmhurst, Queens, was remarkable, Mr. Citron said, because they each had been homeless. And in their 12 years of marriage, they had struggled with his alcoholism. We started at the bottom, he said, and we worked our way all the way up to the top, even opening a florist business, Sweet Williams, in East Harlem. Mr. Citron said that his wife had given him the courage to do detox, and that last January, he celebrated 12 years of sobriety. She made sure that she kept me in check, he said. She made sure that I did things I was supposed to do. She was a very, very strong woman because she would put her foot down. She would make sure that I would eat right, and she would make sure that no one would manipulate me. She was also my backbone. She made me strong. She made me who I am today. And I thought, what a lady. What a relationship. What a marriage. And what a strength. Then I thought, what a loss. You talk about loneliness. We cannot imagine how that set in to his life. How blessed are we when we have someone in our corner cheering us on, lifting us up. But what happens when no one is there? Or the one or ones who once were there or no longer there for whatever reason. What happens when we're alone? I think about how blessed we are to have folks, but then how stressed we become when they're no longer there. Sometimes they may be there physically, but they're not there emotionally. There's something that's come between us and another. And as I think about it, I think about what God's Word says about loneliness. Was Jesus, our Savior, ever forsaken and left alone? Does He understand the feelings of our heart when we feel totally forsaken and abandoned in this life? Well, we know that He does. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me as we stand together. We're going to read John chapter 16. Verse 32 and verse 33. John chapter 16. Stand with me, please. John chapter 16, verse 32. Let's read it aloud. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank you. May be seated. Underline this expression in verse number 32. And shall leave me alone. Jesus knows what it's like to be left alone. I want you to think about how important it is to arm your mind with truth, with confidence, with hope when you're struggling with loneliness, even how to survive loneliness. Some people, that's when they despair. They lose heart, they give up, and they turn aside. Maybe they despair life itself and in their life. Maybe they despair life so much that they look for some kind of comfort in some self-destructive behavior. They try to find some kind of way to even soothe the pain, to just make it bearable, that hurt of loneliness that's left in one's heart. How are we going to survive loneliness? God gives us a way to do just that. And I want you to write this down, if you will. Number one, by understanding that there are seasons in life when loneliness intensifies. When loneliness intensifies. Jesus said, now get this. He said, the hour cometh, verse 32. The time is coming. The season where I'm going to be left alone because you're going to leave me. And you're going to abandon me and forsake me. That season, that hour is coming, and it's going to get very intense, what's going to happen without and within. And think about what Jesus is saying in verse 16. A little while and you shall not see me again. A little while and you shall see me. So it's a season. In verse number 30 or 22, it says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Underline that. He said, a little while I'm going away, in essence, and you're not going to see me, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to be with you. You're going to see me again. But even between those things, those situations, there's going to come a time when you're going to abandon me, you're going to run for dear life, and I'm going to be left alone. Think about that. The seasons of life, seasons of loneliness, when it bears down upon us, we're keenly aware and sensitive to how alone we are. Life is not always sunshine and roses. There are clouds and thorns along the way. Sometimes life is very difficult, very disappointing, very disheartening. We read where nearly one in four people worldwide, which translates to more than 1 billion people, feel very or fairly lonely, according to one survey. 52% of Americans report feeling lonely. 47% report their relationships with others aren't meaningful. 59% of Americans say they have a best friend. 12% say they feel they don't have any close friends. Prolonged or intense loneliness can have negative impacts in our lives. It can affect our health and our overall well-being. It can increase our risk of early mortality by 26%. It puts us at a greater risk of depression, despair. I thought this was interesting. No one is immune to loneliness, but some groups are more prone to it than others. According to a survey of over 20,000 adults, one of the most comprehensive U.S.-based studies on the topic of loneliness, the report says, young adults between the ages of 18 and 25 are the loneliest segment in the U.S. population. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Loneliness. We think that everyone's fine. We're so connected, but we're not. It is a genuine crisis in many people's lives that they don't know how to handle, how to respond to. And that's why so many give in to despair, and they turn aside even from that which is healthy and right, and they just try to survive. They just try to hold on for dear life. Oh, may God speak to us today. There are seasons. You're going to go through a time of loneliness. But you need to understand ahead of time, it's not the end of you. As sure as the clouds roll into your life, they will disperse at some point, and the sun will shine again. God will minister to you in that time. Don't think this is it. There's no hope for me. I will never be happy, or I'll never have any friends or family or those that I can enjoy being with ever again. That's not true. Seasons do what? They come and they go. There are seasons in life when loneliness is going to intensify. It's going to bear down upon us. But Jesus said, it's just going to be for a little while. A little while, I'm not going to be here. But then in a little while, I'm coming back. A little while. He said, I will see you again. I hope you'll underline that in verse 22. Susie Simpson's brother said this at his mother's service the other day. Though we miss her deeply, we will be with her far longer than we will be without her. Isn't that wonderful? We'll be with her in eternity far longer than we'll be without her on this earth. Jesus said, I will see you again. You know what your loved ones who are with the Lord could say to you today? A little while, I'm going to be gone. But in a little while, we're going to see each other. We're going to see each other again. This is the hope of God in our lives. That's why we shouldn't despair. If God has taken a loved one and left us here, then there's a reason. As long as there's life, there is hope, the Bible says. This is not the time to just say, my life will never be good again. My life will never have meaning again. I will always be sad and lonely. That's not true. You've got to see this, that these seasons, they come and they go. They ebb and flow in life. And it's just like the tides of the ocean. There are times when the tide goes out and it's like, hey, come back. Will it ever return? But it what? It always returns. It always comes back. That's the way human emotion is. Someone has said that love doesn't keep your marriage together. Your marriage keeps your love together. Because as an emotion, love, the feeling that you have for each other, it can ebb and flow. And sometimes it can go out with the tide, right? But hey, don't worry, the tide will come back. That feeling of devotion and excitement and love for one another, it can and it will return. Your commitment to God and each other sustains your love. You see, your marriage keeps your love together instead of your love keeping your marriage together. Because love as an emotion, we have to understand that it kind of sometimes is really present and is wonderful. But sometimes we feel nothing, we feel anger, we feel rejection or alienation, and then we want to inflict that upon the other, and it's like push each other away, and it's like, based upon how I feel right now, that's what I'm going to decide and do. No, you've already made a decision. Based upon what you have decided is what you're going to do, you must say to yourself, that's what I'm going to do. I've made a commitment to God. I've made a commitment here. And you know what? Things aren't too well right now. But hey, they've been good before and they'll be good again. Is that right? Seasons of life. Seasons of loneliness. They're going to come in and out of our lives. But we've got to hold fast and do what is right, trusting that God is with us and God is in control, because it unfolds into the next thought here. Number one, we're going to survive loneliness by understanding that there are seasons in life when loneliness intensifies. Number two, by knowing that even if all others forsake us, your Heavenly Father will stay with you. He will stay with you. I love what Jesus says here in the last part of verse 32. He says, now you're going to leave me alone, yet I am not alone. Would you underline that? All of y'all are going to leave me. You're going to forsake me. But I am not utterly forsaken nor left alone. Why? Because the Father is with me. Would you underline that? That could be great comfort and strength in your time of loneliness when you feel like no one's there, no one cares, no one understands, and it's like all men have forsaken me. What am I to do? You're to look up and be reminded that your heavenly Father has not forsaken you. For He hath said, Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm not going anywhere under any circumstance. I am with you to the end, no matter what you face. I face it with you. You don't face it alone. Isn't that wonderful? He said, though I'm alone, I'm not alone because my Father is with me each step of the way. You'll find as a Christian, when other people walk out of your life, in essence, that's when the Lord walks in and steps up and says, all right, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. You can count on me. Psalm 27 and verse 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The word forsake there has a thought of to be absent. Think about this. It could be like willingly, I'm done with you. I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with you at all. It could be that. Or it could be that they were just so distraught by the situations of life that though they're physically present, they're emotionally absent. They just don't even engage you anymore. They're holding on for dear life themselves. It could be that there's been a separation there. It could be that there's been death there. When my mother and father forsake me, when they're no longer present in my life, what's going to happen to me? That's when the Lord is going to come to me. The word take me up literally means come to my side and bear me up. Take me unto Himself and care for me. Isn't that a wonderful promise? The Lord is going to come to me. He said, now I'm going away. And this is what Jesus is trying to do in our text here, is lay the groundwork for His death, burial, and resurrection. He's telling His disciples, hey, I'm going away. And they're like, what? Wait a minute. But notice earlier back in chapter 16 here in verse number 7, He's talking about, though I'm going away, I'm going to send you another comforter, according to verse 7 and following. And this is the Holy Spirit that He's going to send. The word is paraclete. And it literally means one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit will not only be with you, but He will be in you. So in the person of the Holy Spirit, I will go with you. I will continue with you wherever you go and whatever you face. You will never face it alone. I will go before you and I will go with you. I will indwell you by my Holy Spirit. You will be sealed until the day of deliverance. You will never be forsaken. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I want to tell you, for some of us today, it's like, well, hey, that's good. But when loneliness is bearing down upon you and even ravaging your soul, it is good to know by faith. I may not feel it right now, but I know what God said, and I'm going to hold to the promise of God. God says, I am with you until the ends of the age, to the ends of the earth, to the end of time. I am with you always. Isn't that wonderful? Hold your place here, but look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul went through so many trials. And the Bible says in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 4, At my first answer, no man stood with me. Would you underline that? You talk about abandonment, loneliness. But all men forsook me. Such is the nature of fallen man. Don't be overly bewildered when people abandon you, forsake you. They did Paul here, God's faithful servant. They did Christ himself. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That's one way to help you keep from being perpetually angry and resentful, even bitter toward those who forsake you. What did Jesus cry on the cross? Something similar, right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Keep your heart tender. You say, well, their heart is so hard toward me. Well, that's why they do what they do. But you don't have to become them. You don't have to harden your heart against them because their heart is hardened against you. Keep your heart tender by praying for them and asking God for His mercy. He said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, here it is. The Lord did what? The Lord stood with me. Others didn't stand with me. They forsook me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. No matter what you face, God will face it with you. Others may leave you alone, but He will come to your aid, and He will prove Himself present and strong. He says in verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. God's going to take care of me. You know what? The child of God is indestructible until God's will and work is completed in his or her life. So when the adversary is bearing down on you and the circumstances of life are saying, hey, you're nothing, you're nobody, people don't believe in you, you're all alone, look who you are, look where you are, life has no meaning for you and all. When he's bearing down upon you, just know this. The reason you're still here is that God's not finished with you. And if God's got you here, he's got you because he's not going anywhere. He's going to deliver you. He's going to be faithful to you, and he's going to strengthen you no matter the challenge that comes your way. And that's what Paul lived. That's what he realized. I don't know about you, but this is helping me today. It's helping me, reminding me that I have a faithful God who's not going anywhere. Even when times of loneliness set in, even when others forsake, my Heavenly Father stays. That's something God has done all these years. He said, I am with you. Well, Lord, I'm facing this. Lord, I'm with you. Lord, I'm facing it. I'm with you. What more do you need when you have the God of heaven present in your life? Others can abandon. Others can do everything, you know, in your life to try to wreck or ruin or discourage you. But I'll tell you one thing they cannot do. They cannot take the Holy Spirit out from your heart. They cannot take the promise of God out of the Bible. And they cannot take the power of God out of your life. They can't do that. When you've got God, you are not alone. Survive loneliness. Oh, may the Lord help us. By understanding that there are seasons of life when loneliness intensifies, by knowing that even if all others forsake you, your Heavenly Father stays with you. And then, number three, by trusting Jesus to give you peace. That means quietness of heart and mind, calmness of spirit, and courage. That's good cheer in times of loneliness. Look back in John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. That's where your peace is found, in Christ. In the world, you're going to have what? Tribulation, trouble. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I've thought about this. People who are troublemakers, how willfully blind they are to the beauty of life, the gift of life, the potential of life. Oh, how willfully negligent they miss the victory that is ours. Yes, we live in a fallen world, but the world doesn't determine who we are. It doesn't dictate to us what we think or how we feel or what we believe or how we treat each other. The world doesn't determine that. God determines that. The Word of God determines that. Jesus said, in me ye shall have what? Peace. Now in the world, you're not going to have peace. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. There's going to be sorrow upon sorrow. I thought as I was a younger man, the older I would get, I would have less and less troubles because I would master life, right? And I'd figure so many things out. One thing I've learned is this, is that you cannot master life in a fallen world, but you can trust the one who has mastered life itself, and that's the master of the sea. Even the winds and the waves obey him. He said, be of good cheer, for I have what? I've overcome the world. That's powerful. He said, the word cheer there is literally courage. Be courageous. Be bold. Be confident. Be of good cheer. Be settled and calm, peaceful in your heart and your mind. Even when loneliness sets in, because we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can get back up. We can keep going. We can rise above and we can work through and move beyond these seasons that are so intense at times and they leave us so empty and hollow and sometimes hopeless. Take heart by taking hold of the promise of God. Be courageous, be bold, be confident in the Lord. Rest assured. Don't be all torn up. Don't be grinding and striving within, always just comparing yourselves with others and their life and what it looks like they've got and how well things are going for them. You know what I've learned? Now I'm a pastor. You want to ask somebody something about human nature and about human life and human experience? Talk to someone who is in their life calling. That's what they deal with, people. People. You know what I've learned? I've learned that we're not only all sinners, but we all have problems, and we all got something we need God to help us with. All life long. Sometimes it's more intense than other times, but there's never a time when we don't need God. And while you think everybody else has got it good, if you only knew what some were carrying, truly, it would touch your heart and tender your heart. Well, they've got this and they've got that. You know what? I've been listening to people here of late that kind of reached the pinnacle of success. They had everything that the world had to offer. And it's like they got there and they are saying, I've read different testimonials to where they said, is this it? I worked so hard to get here and it's like, and I'm just as empty and hollow inside as I've ever been. I thought it would make me happy. I thought it would give true meaning in my life. And it's like, no, that's not where it's at. When you think about it, Jesus said this, in the midst of our loneliness, how can we weather that storm? By looking to him, leaning on him, and trusting him in our tribulation for his peace and his courage to continue. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I want my enemies gone. I want my troubles gone. I want my sorrows gone. Oftentimes it's not that God removes all of that from our lives. He just reminds us of his presence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you can't sleep at night, instead of trying to count sheep, talk to the shepherd. He's with you in all times, both day and night. Never to leave, never to forsake. He says, you can have my peace. You can have my comfort and my courage, knowing that you're going to get through this. And I, as your God, as your Savior, I'm going to go through it with you. You don't face it alone. Remember the Hebrew children thrown into that fiery furnace? They were in there jumping for joy. And you know, the king and these soldiers were like, what in the world? They should have been consumed by now. That fire is so hot. 7 times hotter than it wants to be heated. His expression there. Man, that thing's hot. You can't even get close to it without being burned, singed. These guys should have been gone long ago, and here they are rejoicing. And wait, how many did we put in there? 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 in there. How'd that 4th man get in there? Wait, man, that's not just any man. That looks like the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't go in that fiery furnace, that trial alone. When they got in there, they found the Lord was with them. And you may be headed toward a trial right now, and you will find the Lord present there in that trial, already there waiting on you. My brother preached years ago that text, and he said, you don't read anywhere where, though those 3 boys, they drew them out of the fire, you don't read anywhere where the Lord came out of the fire. And he said, he stayed in the fire because he's waiting on you and me when we get cast in the fire. And I said, that's good. And that's true. Isn't that right? He knows where we're at, and the fires are going to come. And it may be a fire of loneliness. And I want to tell you, some of us have never lived that because we got so many family and friends. But once you go down that path and you truly feel that heartache, it hurts. It hurts. Physically painful, much less the anguish of the heart and the mind. Even there, in the depth of such pain and sorrow, your God is present to give you peace, reassurance, comfort, and courage to continue. God will help us to not just survive loneliness, but to thrive again by knowing that He is with us and will help us. As we close today, I want you to think about this psalm. Turn your hymn book to 377. 377. Ron Hamilton, known as Patch the Pirate to so many, faced the great trials of life, and out of these trials came songs in the night about the light of hope we have in Jesus Christ. And I want you to read this with me, and I want you to think of these words. And in fact, you know, as we think about it, I believe it'd be good if we just stand and read these together. And let's all stand. 377. We're going to read this together. I want you to think about it. Do you have it there in your hymn book? Hymn 377. Let's read that first verse together. When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. When I'm alone, second verse, and I face the unknown, and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? How can I fear with Jesus? He said, now I'm going to be left alone, but I'm not alone. My Father is with me. As my Father is with me, I'm going to be with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And wherever you go, I go with you. You're not alone, friend, in Christ.